Lesson number one of biblical inspiration. What is biblical inspiration? What it is and what it is not. So many people think that the King James Bible or the New American Standard or New International Version or the Douay Version or Jerusalem Bible, they think that these are inspired Bibles. They are not, none of them. The verses and the chapters in the Bible are not inspired. They weren't in the original language. As we looked at the Bible the last time, the inspiration of the Bible, we know that the Bible was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, and it was inspired in Hebrew in the Old Testament, and it was inspired in Greek in the New Testament. Absolute every tense, mode, and voice were absolutely inspired. The writers wrote in their own language and their own vocabulary that they had, whichever was from the New Testament all the way back to the Old Testament. They wrote in whatever occupation they had. You'll see the inflection of the terms that they used in those original languages. You will see this, especially in the New Testament. The highest educated writers of the New Testament were the Apostle Paul and the writer of the book of Hebrews. The writer of the book of Hebrews possibly was Apollos. He wrote in high Koine classical Greek. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation were written by John, and they were written in a very simple, straightforward language, but John used a lot of Hebraisms. In other words, he brought a Hebrew term in from the Hebrew language into the Greek language in its exact form. John, when he wrote and he talked about the Word of God, the word there is Ha the Bar of the Old Testament, and that Ha the Bar means the Word. Ahashem, the name. And what he's talking about, in beginning kept on being the Word, or in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What it says there is in beginning kept on being in the beginning the Jehovah, and Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being Jehovah. Jehovah kept on being God. Jesus, when he was born in this world, did not cease to be God. But he took on his nature, the nature of man also. Now there are 66 books in the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 books in the New Testament. Some of the books that are referred to in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the book of Jasher is referred to several times in the Bible. And the book of Jasher is right here. It is a historical book. It doesn't mean that it inspired at all, but it tells us things that are not written in the Bible. It is a resource book, so to speak. The book of Enoch is another resource book that we have. The book of Enoch was quoted many times in the New Testament and quite a few times in the Old Testament. The book of Enoch, as far as we know, is not all inspired, but the prophet Enoch wrote it. A lot of people say, well, it was written way later, but we can trace that book in its form in Hebrew about 1,000 years B.C. And there may be some pieces of it. Otherwise, it was found in the Dead Sea Scroll. The Dead Sea's, the Qumranians or the Essenes, whatever you want to call them, or the people that occupied that area, copied Bibles and important writings of the day, and the Book of Enoch was the most copied book that they did. They also did parts of Jasher. Paul quoted the book of Jasher. Several times in the Old Testament, the book of Jasher is quoted. In Joshua 10, verse 13, it quotes Joshua, 2 Samuel 1 and 18, and 2 Timothy 3 and 8. The book of Jasher is directly quoted. The book of Jude directly quotes the book of Enoch. Now, these books that we refer to, the other books, There were many other writings at that time. There was a book in the New Testament, the Laodicean Letter, which now we have, and even in its original Greek form. There is nothing in the book of Laodicea that Paul wrote that is anything wrong or separate or contrary to anything that we have in revealed Scripture. When they canonized the Bible, which was about 300 and something A.D., and actually the Bible was written, of course, within the first century. If we look at church history here, Jesus organized his church. He ordained apostles. The first gift placed in the church was apostles. And most of these apostles were the writers of the New Testament. But the book of James, that was Jesus' half-brother. And the book of Jude, that was also Jesus' half-brother. These books were. Now, I said last week that the book of or the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Chaldean, the Old Testament. And the New Testament is written in Koine classical Greek. Some of it is very high Koine, like the book of Hebrews. Paul used many terms. He quoted many pagan poets and everything, and contemporaries of his day knew what he was talking about. The Bible says that the prophets that wrote down the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, didn't always know what they were writing. And 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, it talks about that. They didn't really understand what they had written. Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering Messiah and the rejected Messiah. And Psalm 22, as David wrote that psalm, it is talking about the very words that Jesus would speak on the cross of Calvary. That's prophecy. The word prophecy means to say something before it happens. And those original writings were inspired by God. Like I said, tense, mode, and voice. In other words, it was exactly written, exactly right from the heart of God. He used vehicles of mankind to bring forth his book. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible is not like the Quran, is not like the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price or Doctrine and Covenants. It is inspired. Everything in the Bible, medically, scientifically, is true. Many people interpret the Bible, many interpretations of the Bible are wrong because so much today people depend on translations instead of looking at the original language. If you look at the original language of the Hebrew and the Greek, it will absolutely tame some of your radical ideas. Because it just doesn't say that. It just does not give you room for it. You take one word out of a Greek sentence and you can tell exactly what part that word played in. In Greek, there is nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, vocative. Those are what we call where you take nouns. They play a certain part of part in speech. You can tell whether it is the one speaking, whether it's the subject, whether it's the object, whether it's locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, or vocative. Is it vocative means it's an address. Oh, man. Oh, you, whatever. You've got all kinds of tenses, whether it's imperfect, whether it happened in the past, whether it's continuous or whatever. You can see that in those languages. Many people are too lazy or too much in a hurry to get a biblical degree and get out and get to work. I'll tell you what, I want my doctors to go to school. Don't you? How would you like to have a doctor that just went to medical school for 1 year and decided to get out and just start practicing medicine? And practicing medicine. Practicing, you know, hit and miss. Practicing medicine. I saw a lot of young boys go to school, and men, sometimes even older men, that I went to school with in the seminary. I went there basically 12 years. A lot of them would go 1 or 2 years and be ready to go out. They're fired all up. They're novices. And they go out. Some of them do okay, but they sure could do a lot better if they had ammunition that they were never run out of. How about if you're fighting a war out there and they give you 3 bullets? This is it. I can tell you an example of that. When I was up here, I was hunting for a living when I was a young boy. Started out 7 years old hunting for a living. In other words, what I shot, that's what we got to eat. We had nothing else. We were too far away from town. There was hardly any refrigeration here at all except in the wintertime, natural refrigeration. And my dad would give me 1 bullet. I'd go out there and try to line up 2 rabbits and get with that, and I did that several times, and doves and quail and whatever. And then when we went out to protect myself, he gave me an old Enfield pistol, a 38 Smith & Wesson pistol. Not a 38 special, but a 38 Smith & Wesson. That was an old caliber they used from the 1800s up until even after World War II. I had 1 bullet in that, and I was supposed to protect myself from wild stallions, from wild burros, jacks that would try to kill me, and even lions, bears, wolves, whatever I had a problem with. 1 bullet. I never even got to shoot that pistol. I don't know how I could hit a broadside of a barn with it. I never shot it once. I didn't want to waste my 1 bullet. How would you like to go out into war and have 3 bullets or 1 bullet, and that's all you get? That's like going out and preach without really understanding the Word of God and what it is. There are many preachers out there telling you that the King James Version is inspired of God. That's a downright lie, people. And people believe that. As we looked at last week, King James Version was written for the Church of England. It was written against Baptists, and it was written against Calvinists, and it was written against Catholics. It was very, what we might call, colored in the translation of it, because they believed in baptism, regeneration, and all the things, and they believed at that time in sprinkling and pouring. The Baptists were always teaching that baptism was by immersion. And so they had a council. They said, what are we going to do? This, if we translate this word baptizo, if we translate it immerse, they're going to know the Baptists are right. They didn't have to worry about the Calvinists or any of the others, because they all sprinkled. But the Baptists immersed, like the word baptizo means. I have a workbook over here written by the Pedal Baptist. And I'll just pick it up and show it to you. It's written in the 1800s on the word baptizo, trying to say that it's a rite and not the form. Baptizo means the dip, period. Baptizo, see? That was written a long, long time ago. It was a defense of sprinkling. So I'm going to get the first page here. 1872. In 1872, this book was written, and it's all, the whole book is written in defense of pedobaptism and the form of baptism. You cannot derive sprinkling and pouring from the word baptizo. When they translated the King James Version, they sprinkled, so they said, what did they say to King James? What are we going to do? If we say immerse, they're going to know the Baptists are right. Well, he said, don't translate it at all, just translate it. Say, baptize, and we'll cover it up there. The Bible is written, and it is profitable for doctrine. A lot of people don't want to teach doctrine. The doctrine of the inspiration of the Bible is very important. The Bible was inspired in the original languages with the original authors, tense, mode, and voice exactly. But in any translation, it is a translation. Any of the scripture, what we call chapters and verses, and sometimes they're broken in the wrong place, were added later. It's easy to find John 3:16. Otherwise, you'd have to go to the whole book of John and read till you came to John 3:16, which became John 3:16. And it's handy. It's handy, but it's not inspired. I want you to know that. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness. And it is given to us that we might become mature in the Lord. It is good for every good work. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, says the Bible, the Word of God, is a lamp to my feet as we study the Word of God. Yes, you study in translations, and you can do that. But don't go out and tell people that translation is inspired. The original language is inspired. And it is beautiful. The Bible in the original languages was so burned and tried to be destroyed by the Catholic Church and by Islam, that is an absolute miracle of God that we have any of it. Westcott and Hort, people run them down so greatly that King James only people do. Westcott and Hort were horrible people, terrible atheists, etc., etc. Those people, you know who Westcott and Hort were? They were two individuals and had other people working with them that tried to go into these manuscripts that were just all over the place, these old manuscripts that they had, trying to find out what was really there and what wasn't. You know, the Bible says don't take away or don't add to the Scriptures. The Scriptures were added too much. Much added to. Where you have the Scriptures, where you look it up, and so the King James says this, and New American Standard leaves this out. New American Standard was translated by a lot better manuscripts. And a lot of it was the work of Westcott and Hort and Nestle Allen, Bruce Metzger. Textual critics. And textual critics doesn't mean you're critiquing the Bible. You're not critiquing. You're not a critic of the Bible. You are a critical scientist of the original manuscripts to find out where they were. If you get Nestle Allen, which we have a Nestle Allen up here someplace that I have, if you look at that, the Nestle Allen Bible, and it's in Greek only. But you go in there, and a lot of the scriptures, there is an apparatus at the bottom of it. And this, and the same thing in the Hebrew Bible, too. I won't show you that, but there it is. Down at the bottom, you'll see the scriptures up here. And right down here, it tells you everything about the different readings of that verse and what they believe to be absolutely the inspired Word of God is there. But if there's any difference in it at all from any manuscripts, it'll tell you what year they came in, what century they came in. That's scientific. This is what we call study. It takes a lot of work to do this. And these people did this for you. I can open up the Bible today from these manuscripts and I can say this is as close to what John said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, James, Jude, whoever, like they signed it with their own hand. The Bible says that we should hide the Word of God in our heart. whatever translation you have or whatever language you speak, you ought to memorize the Word of God in whatever language you have. But remember, the Word of God in its inspired form is in Greek and Hebrew. And don't make any excuses, because there aren't any otherwise. Period. We study the Word of God to make ourselves approved unto God, that we need not be ashamed. When somebody asks us for an answer, we ought to have an answer. There's a lot of atheists out there laughing at you. A lot of agnostics laughing at you that believe in King James. And they are right. The bad thing about it is, but you can come with the Word of God, and you can come with the history of the Word of God, you can come with the Scriptures, with the validated Scriptures that we know are there, and you can tell them this is what it says. You know why we got so many denominations out there? Because they didn't study the original Bible. That's why. Jehovah's Witnesses, I had one of my students, my former students that became the manager at Valley Baptist Church, Alan Wagner. I just loved that man. He came to my classes there at Valley. Of course, I was his pastor back in the 60s and 70s when he was very young. He was in politics heavy in his life, and he was a conservative Democrat, by the way. The Republicans and Democrats, neither one pulled anything over his eyes. When he would introduce me to somebody, some big Southern Baptist big shot, he'd say, "This is the greatest preacher of all time." He said, "A Jehovah's Witness or Mormon can't stand him for 5 minutes, they're done for when they come into his classes." And he saw people come into my classes, you know. I had gone, they made meetings with me, Jehovah's Witnesses did. Finally, they called me from Watchtower one time and talked to me, 3 hours, Marilyn? Wanting me to tell them what I believed and what I believe the Bible taught. I said, "I'm not going to argue with you for 1 minute, but I'll talk to you all day long telling you what the Bible teaches and from the original language." You know, they supposedly, Herbert Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong, all these came from the original language. But how in the world, if they studied from the original language, how did they get that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God? You go to John 1:1, 1:14, 1:18, and that's the end of Jehovah's Witnesses. So you go from the original language, it's over with. It's over. The argument is over. John 1:1, you've heard me translate it 1,000 times. In beginning, in the absolute beginning, when nothing else ever was, ain, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active, verb, he kept on being the Jehovah, the Word, that's a Hebraism. The Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And we know that the word there is referring to Jesus Christ. The same thing John uses in 1 John and in the book of Revelation. Their arguments are finished. They can take King James, they can take their New World Translation, whatever you want to, and they can twist the Bible up. But you can't do it in the original language. It's done and over with. It's finished. The argument is done. The Bible, will be our law, our judgment book. Our judgment book. People ask me a lot of times, "What translation do you use?" I use New World Translation, New International Version, Amplified Bible, but I may read that, and I may even read or quote King James. But I will correct all of them from the original languages. When you bet your life on something, know what you're betting your life on. I use New American Standard quite a little bit, but I correct it also. A lot of the translations won't go too far away from King James because people won't accept it, because they have such a honor for the King James Bible. They, in Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, are real problematic for all translations. There is an old Bible that I was probably one of the references. I was one of the consultants for it. And that was the Sacred Name Bible, which I have up here someplace. And they translated things correctly. I was the consultant for the Hebrew Old Testament and some of the Greek New Testament also. With that. See, I'm getting old. A lot of these things happened in my lifetime. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the books were open, the Word of God. There are many recordings of our life. What we do in our life are recorded in heaven. We are not saved by works or merit at all. We're saved by grace, grace alone. But the Word of God is the living Word of God. It's real, people. I'd encourage you to at least study a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Hebrew. Get a good study Bible, New American Standard, something like that, and look at what it says in the columns when you're reading it. And then pay attention to brackets. Where it has brackets, it means that saying or that term was not in the original manuscript. It was added someplace. Thou shalt not add to the Bible or take away from it. We're talking about adding to, a whole lot of adding to, people. The 16th chapter of the book of Mark, from verse 9 on, was added by some other writer. Even in the original Greek manuscripts, I don't mean original because it doesn't go back very far. I think about the 4th or 5th century, 500 or 600, you can find that in there. And it was added later on for explanation or something. It was some preacher's notes or whatever. All Bibles were handwritten at that time. So you have to differentiate what a writer, a pastor, a teacher wrote for an explanation or an illustration and what was there. It ends at verse 9. That's the end of the chapter. Jesus said that the world shall pass away, the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There are some rules of interpretation of the scripture also. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? Or who, what, when, and why? If you want to get real technical. Any book that you take, any history book, any book that you take, who's writing? This writing or the book, is he quoting somebody else? A lot of people, I've heard preachers preach from the book of Job and preach from not from what Job said, but from what his adversary said. It's not inspired, people. It's inspired that the book's inspired, but what they said is not inspired. Know that. Young preachers, study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth or the word of God. Rightly dividing means cutting it straight. Paul was using a term there, a tent maker's term, and that tent maker term, if you bought a piece of cloth, and if that piece of cloth, if you cut it wrong, you might have lost the whole thing, and every piece of cloth was very valuable, and every word in the word of God is very valuable. Very valuable. When you study the Word of God, when you preach the Word of God, preach it in such a way as don't go just take a scripture out of context and use it as a what we call a diving board into what you want to preach. The best way to preach the Bible is expository preaching. Let the Bible do its job. Just read the Bible and explain to you the application that it has for today. That's application. Interpretation is different from application. Always. You can study the Old Testament in many places, you can apply it to you, but is it talking about Israel? Is it talking about you? Is it talking about the devil? Judas went out and hung himself. You go out and do likewise. You can take the Bible and you can quote it like that, and that's pretty ridiculous, but the way people interpret the Bible many times, it's just as ridiculous. The Word of God is holy. The Muslims today, they have a holy Quran. The only reason why they call it a holy Quran is because the Bible is called the Holy Bible. They wanted to equate it as more powerful and more perfect than the Bible, and there's nothing more perfect than the Bible in its original languages. Like I said, for many, many years, Bibles were very valuable and hard to come by. Some churches, and real Baptist churches and history, only had one book or one page out of the Bible, and they had to preach it over and over and over again. But the pastors in many centuries were required to memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the Psalms by heart. It was necessary. I told you in church history, we teach church history also, how the Baptists sometimes tattooed the Word of God on their bodies. Sometimes they would take a single page of the Bible and give their life for it. There are many examples in history like that. The Word of God is very holy. In the original languages, it is inspired. It is God-breathed. The translators that translated it, many times translated it with an object in mind of protecting what they believed. The original languages gives you no room for that. It says what it says. You can't take it out of context. The subject is there, the object is there. Like I said, nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative, 8 cases that cannot be twisted to mean something else. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it. Please educate your people. Please nurture them. Please let them be able to stand up and defend your word when they know what the word is. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And please let this be used in your kingdom for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.